Good morning, everybody. So glad you took time to join us online today at Destiny. We're so glad to have you, and thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're watching this on Sunday morning or anytime during the week on a rebroadcast. We are so glad that you are tuning in. We're hearing from many of you from around the nation now because of what's going on. We are broadcasting and now even hearing from many people from different states. And so no matter where you're at today, we are so thankful to have you tuning in and being a part of this broadcast. And so today I hope your spirit is ready. I hope your hearts are ready. Let's dive into the word of the Lord and see what God's speaking to us. We are in the start of a new series we started last week called Rise Up. And so today I want to continue in that series. I want to talk to you about something. But first, I want to ask you this important question. What will change after all this COVID-19 crisis is done? What in your life will change? What in your family will change? You know, Dave Ramsey had been telling us for years we need to have 6 months emergency savings saved up for a crisis, and we haven't done it. Many people haven't done it, and yet we see the importance now of what that wisdom was. What will change? What will change in maybe your saving? What will change in maybe reconnecting your family time again? What will change in maybe attending church again on a faithful basis? What about your heart will change? What about your family will change? What about your life will change? It's during this time of crisis that we have a chance to reestablish what's really important and what God is calling us to reestablish as number one in our life. And so today, as I ask you that question, I want to talk to you about a story of a group of people who went through a major crisis, and God reestablished some priorities in their life. God reestablished a pattern in their life, and I want to share it with you. It's found in the book of Ezra. And Ezra was a really short chapter in the Old Testament, only about 10 chapters long, but not a lot of talk about Ezra. Matter of fact, the first 7 chapters, you don't hardly even hear about Ezra. You hear about somebody else. But the last 3 chapters, we start hearing more about Ezra. And this is a time of exile. The children of Israel, they had to leave Jerusalem because Babylon had come and invaded. Now, what had happened was this, is that the children of Israel had came and they had begun to turn their back on God, what God had asked them to do. And time again, God was warning them, sending people to warn them. Finally, God said, okay, you want to do your own thing. You want to go your own way. And God lifted his hand of protection that had been upon them. And he allowed Babylon to come in. And when they came in to overtake them, they took several thousands of slaves back with them as slaves. And they were in exile. The Bible says for 95 years, they were in exile. And what we see is after that time period, that during that time period, God began to release them back to return home. And there was 3 groups of people that actually got a chance to come back home. The first group was led by Zerubbabel, which is he led 43,000 people, him and Joshua, to return back to Jerusalem. And God told him, when you come back, you bring these 43,000 people, and I want you to reestablish, I want you to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed. And so their main objective, their thing was, God said, I want you to build it back up. Then the second group, led by Ezra, and God said, Ezra, when you go back, I want you to reestablish worship in the temple. Reestablish my presence and the honor of the Lord and worship in the temple. And then after Ezra, there was a third group that came back, and they were led by Nehemiah. And Nehemiah's job was to rebuild the wall. Now, next week, we're going to talk more about Nehemiah and rebuilding this wall. But today, I really want to hone in on Ezra. I want to talk about Ezra's heart, what Ezra's spirit was about, and how God changed him and used him to bring change to his people. And so today, as we look at this, Ezra returns back to Jerusalem. He goes back to Jerusalem. The temple has been completed. God sent them a group ahead of time. They rebuilt the temple. Now God said, Ezra, I want you to go back, and I want you to reestablish worship. And when he gets back there, he returns back home. He sees all the children of Israel. He sees all of Jerusalem, all God's people. They were there, and they were doing the exact same things before they were captured and put into exile. And Ezra's going crazy. He's like, listen, people, don't you learn anything? Didn't we learn anything from our past mistakes? God lifted his hand of blessing on us because we were doing things wrong and we were not putting him first. We allowed some other things to come in before God. And so God had to get our attention. And so Ezra was so upset that it says that he fell to the ground. He began to wail. And he began to just have this total meltdown. It says he was so upset that he began to pull his hair out and he pulled his beard out. He had a total meltdown. He was going crazy. He was losing his mind because people were not doing the right thing. Have you ever been there? Felt like you're going crazy because people are going back and repeating the same thing, same foolish things over and over and over again. And Ezra's like, we got to learn. We got to be better. We got to reestablish some things. God has brought us back. God is trying to reestablish us, and it's time for us to come and do things right. Let's don't go back and repeat the same pattern. And that's my prayer for us today, that we wouldn't go back and repeat the same pattern, that we would come back and use this time of reestablishing our family, God first, our family time with our children and our family time. And it's God saying, God, I want to spend time with you more than anything else. And we want to follow what God wants for our life, not what the world is cramming down our throat as fake idols and things we got to follow after. But let's learn to put God back first now and learn that God is the most important thing. And so Ezra is having this total meltdown. And all of a sudden, the people of faith come along beside him. And they say, Ezra, you need to get up. You need to rise up. Ezra, you need to get up. Look what it says here in Ezra 10:4. They told him, they said, rise up. This matter is in your hands. We will support you. So take courage and just do it. And so this is what they're telling him to do. Ezra, all right, you've been crying. You pulled your hair out. But all right, now it's time to rise up. And let's do something about it. Let's go out and make some changes. See, there's a time for different things, but you got to learn that there's a time to weep. There's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to be upset. But there's also a time to rise up. There's a time to rise up, and you got to get up, and you got to go for what God's calling you to be. You got to go where God's calling you to go. Listen, do it. You got to rise up. See, so many of us, we sit around and we get upset and we lose it and we never get back up. We lose it and we lose focus. And God said, no, I don't want you to lose focus. It's all right to be upset, but now I want you to rise up and fix the problem. I want you to rise up and reestablish some things in your life. How many of us are upset about what's going on with COVID-19? All this isolation, all these regulations and all these layoffs and all these stipulations, it's driving us crazy, right? I get it. I understand it. But we got to rise up and begin to do something about it. And what I mean by rising up, saying, God, we want to prepare ourselves so that we are reestablishing what God is wanting first in my family, in my life first. I want to reestablish. So it's a time to rise up. And I want you to learn to rise up with God's favor. Rise up with God's favor. Why did Ezra have the favor of the Lord? Why did he have favor? He came back with favor of the Lord. The kings had sent all this treasure ahead of time to help send them out, and he released them. The king of Persia released them to come back. Why was he walking in the favor of the Lord? Look what it says here in Ezra 7:10. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and rules in Israel. You see, Ezra made it his passion. He made it his passion that he was going to follow what God wanted. He made it his heart's desire that he wanted to follow what God wanted. See, today there's something that happens when you set your heart upon God. There's something that happens when we say, God, I want you more than anything else. There's something that happens when we say, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. See, we begin to walk in the favor of the Lord. And even through a difficult season, you can see God's hand of blessing and favor upon your life through every challenge, through every difficult time, because you have set your heart upon the Lord. He made it his passion. See, in this season, this is a season of reset. Set your heart on God. Reset my heart and say, God, I've got to learn to make sure that you are first above anything else in my life. And what happens, look what Ezra did this. Let's look at the pattern in Ezra's life. Ezra 7:9. It says this, he had begun his journey from Babylon. The first day of the first month, he arrived in Jerusalem. And on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was upon him. It's a pattern to follow his life. Ezra 7:6 says it like this. This is Ezra, came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. You see, God's hand was upon him. God's hand was leading him. The king gave him everything. He had favor with the king because he put his heart upon the Lord. He had favor with the wicked king. Listen, these things happen. Look what 7:28 says, verses 7:28. And who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials, because the hand of the Lord, my God, was on me. He goes, I took courage and I gathered leaders from Israel to go up with me. Are you seeing a pattern here that when you set your heart on God, the hand of favor of the Lord is upon you? Look at the next verse here in 8:21. Ezra 8:31, on the 12th day of the first month, we set out to go to Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was on us. He protected us from our enemies and the bandits along the way. We are seeing this time and time and time again. Listen, church, we got to get this right, okay? Time out. We got to get this right. We got to learn to set our heart on God, and then his favor will rest upon us. Okay, set your heart on God, and then his favor will rest on you. We got to make sure we do this. We think of the absence of a problem means the favor of God. That's not true. Just because you're not going through a season of difficulty or you're not going through a problem in your life right now, God's favor is upon you. That's not true. Because I want to let you know something. God is with you. Before the problem, God is with you during the problem, and God is with you after the problem. The hand of favor of God is with you all along the way when you set your heart upon God, when you set your spirit saying, God, I want you more than anything else. God is with you. So today I want you to put your heart toward God. See, God's hand of favor can stay with you during every crisis. God's hand of blessing can stay with you during every crisis. It's about putting my heart upon the Lord. See, it may be a difficult season, but God is shaping me for the next season. So this may be a challenging season, but see, God is remolding my life. God is remolding my family. God is remolding my marriage. God is remolding my finances. God is remolding my priorities. You see, there's some things that God is wanting to change in us. And during this time, he's reestablishing some priorities. He's trying to get us to refocus on what's really important in life. And right now, he's remolding me. See, that's the hand of blessing. That's the hand of favor that he's setting me up to succeed in the next season that I face. So I want you to learn to rise up. Rise up with faithfulness as well. Rise up with this faith. See, Ezra rose up and he put together a team of people and he said, all right, this is what we're going to teach. We're going to come out now. We're going to teach all of the children of Israel. We're going to teach them about the ways of our past. We're going to teach them about the God who delivered us and brought us out of Pharaoh's hand, and the God who brought us out across the desert, and the God who brought us to the promised land. We're going to teach our children about how God's been faithful to us from generation to generation. And he taught, and he brought a group of leaders that also taught with him. And they talked about it, and they taught and brought people in. So listen, the temple was rebuilt. Ezra returns home. Ezra begins to teach people what needs to happen, how they need to turn back to God. And then Nehemiah returns home. Nehemiah oversees the restructuring the wall, building back the wall. And once the wall's complete, they invite Ezra to come back. They say, all right, Ezra, we want you to come now. We want you to speak to all of us once again. See, Ezra wasn't someone known to be a very charismatic person. He wasn't a charismatic person. He wasn't a great speaker. But God used him in a great way. And it says that what Ezra did when they asked him to speak, he simply got up in the morning. It says around daybreak, he would get up there in front of everybody, and he would begin to read the word of the Lord all day long until noon. From morning till noon, he read out loud the word of God. He did this for 7 days. And for 7 days, the word of God went out, and people began to hear the word of God, and they began to repent. They began to cry out to God and ask for forgiveness and say, God, we need you again. God, forgive us for turning to false idols. Forgive us from disobeying you. God, forgive us. And they cried out to God, and God heard them. And it says for 7 days, they repented and heard the word of the Lord. And then on the eighth day, they began to rejoice because God's favor was returning back to Jerusalem. And so today, I want you to know that just hearing the word of God, that you begin to put it in your life, get yourself refocused, set your heart upon the word. Read it in the morning, read it in the afternoon, read it in the evening time, and reestablish your heart back to the word of the Lord, and see if it does not bring revival in your spirit. See if it doesn't bring the hand of favor back to your life. See, Ezra was doing this, and he was teaching everyone about this. Ezra 9:8-9, look what it says here. It says, for we were slaves. He was teaching them. We were all slaves. But in his unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. See, sometimes we feel like God's abandoned us. Where are you, God? Why do we have to go through this tough season? But even during your bondage, God is there with you. His unfailing love, it does not fail us. His love is faithful from generation to generation, from year to year. God is faithful to his people. And he says he did not abandon us for our slavery. Instead, he caused the king of Persia to treat us with favor. He revived us so we could rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. See, God wants us to rebuild the house of the Lord again. God wants us to rebuild what God is wanting to establish in our lives again. It's him first. It's time for us to reestablish and rebuild the temple of the Lord in our homes, with our families, in our lives. God wants us to put him first, be above anything else. It's time. See, God has not abandoned you. He has not abandoned us. He's here walking with us during a difficult season. His love is always faithful. So what I want you to do is don't give up. Don't give up. Rise up. Don't give up. Rise up. No matter where you're at today, I don't want you to give up. God is with you. God has not abandoned you. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on what God's wanting to do. Listen, rise up today. It's a time to cry. It's a time to be upset. But I want you to rise up and say, God, now I'm pointing my eyes to you. I want to follow you. I want to reestablish. As for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. I don't care if nobody else does it. We're going to do it because we are going to walk in the favor of the Lord. Will you today stand up where you're at and say, I'm not going to sit around feeling sorry for myself, but I'm going to rise up and say, God, I'm going to reestablish myself, my family, in the house of the Lord. I'm going to point my heart towards you and allow God's favor to rest upon me during every single season. So we see the pattern. The pattern was come back and rebuild the temple. And then rebuild the worship. And then the third group, rebuild the walls. I believe God wants us to follow that pattern in our life. I believe he wants us to reestablish the temple, the body. The word of God says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. My life has got to be reestablished, putting my heart toward God. I got to learn to walk in true worship again. God, let me learn to walk in true worship. Let me learn to sit in your presence. Let me learn, Lord, to learn what it means to worship you with my life. Let me learn to reestablish worship in my life. And when I do that, God rebuilds the protection around me. He rebuilds the walls of our city. He rebuilds protection around my family because I've reestablished him and his worship. Today, I want us to regroup. I want us to put our heart toward God and say, I'm ready. Today, I am so thankful that you tuned in, and I want to pray for you. But before I do that, I'm going to simply do this. I'm going to ask, if you're there and you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to reestablish my life to Jesus. This is what I want you to do. If you've never given your life to Jesus, the Bible says we must believe it, believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross for our sins. And then I must confess it with my mouth. So today, if you're ready, wherever you're at, whether you're in your living room, your car, wherever you're watching this broadcast, I want you to repeat after me. If you're ready to give your life to Jesus and reestablish him as Lord of your life, say, Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. From this day forward, I will live for you and follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're so glad that you joined us online today. I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you've been just weighed down by what the problems are going on in your life, I'm praying that God will allow you to rise up. Rise up. It's time for you to get up, to do something for God, to reestablish your life. Father, I thank you that your grace is so big in our life. Your unfailing love is so faithful. And I pray that this love would consume us today. Father, may we reestablish the house of the Lord. May we reestablish worship back in our own house, our own lives, and our families as well. And I believe as we do that, Father, you're going to reestablish protection and favor. But I thank you for your favor that comes all over us today. And I receive that and speak it out in Jesus' name. We say amen. Thank you for being with us today. We look forward to seeing you again soon. God bless you.